Blog Talk Radio.
For Saturday, November 10th, 2018, you are listening to the PW Torch live cast. When it's Saturday, when it's me, when it's you, you know it's the Deep Dive with Rich Fan, and I am Rich Fan. Joining you from a chilly Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania this week, we're going to be chatting a little bit about a little bit, which means in a little bit. I've said that now like 87 times. We're chatting a few things. It's a little bit of a potpourri. I originally had scheduled a guest that would have been a deep dive AM call, as I mentioned last week, but unfortunately work responsibilities led to me being out till 3 a.m. So instead, I have a couple of ideas as far as some people I want to talk to you about from NXT, and of course, the questions you all have for me. So give me a call, area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. This may be a shorter edition of the Deep Dive, as I also am battling a bit of a migraine. So if you hear a thump and I just go silent, call for help, tell my mother I loved her, all that fun stuff. But all kidding aside, I am going to talk a little bit about NXT. I want to talk a bit about, in particular, a few wrestlers I would hope in 2019 you get to see more of, get to appreciate. Some of them you've already started to see their impact felt in the NXT universe, and some I hope you get to see going forward. So as we discuss this, keep that in mind. Feel free to shoot me an email, pwtdive@gmail.com, because in 2019 I am going to continue doing solo profiles a la Bad News Brown / Bad News Allen at some point, similar to what we did with Big Cat. And I want to do it with a few new people. I don't want to steal the thunder of someone like a Sean Radican with a Days of Future Past, but I do want to give you an idea of some people in deeper depth, as I am wont to do, that I think you should know about. So the first of these folks, obviously you know him from the NXT UK tournament, his appearances on NXT television, among other things. The first year UK champ, Tyler Bate. Now, he's only 21 years old, but in a short matter of time, he's been the NXT UK champ. He's been the Progress Tag Team Champion, and that's where I kind of got to see him firsthand as part of British Strong Style, which was the team, the stable collectively of him, Trent Seven, Tyler Bate, and Pete Dunne, who most of my good friends seem to have a lot of hate for because they say he and Rhea Ripley are probably like two peas in a pod. But I digress. Tyler is someone I think, looking forward, will be a good player for NXT. I don't know about the main roster, mainly because of his height and because of the man running things up there. But I think in NXT he can cook, in NXT UK as well, because of, as you've seen, his great wrestling style. He's a stronger guy. He's the quad father. He's got legs for days as far as like the musculature, his ability to use the airplane spin and tie his strong lower center of gravity and strong lower body into a lot of his power moves. I think him and Seven have been a great tag team, mainly because they both can be serious, they both can be vicious, and when they're alternating between one and the other, it makes it a really entertainment time for you as the fan. As far as Tyler goes, in terms of matches, I would recommend, he just had in chapter, I want to say it was 74, 5, Hello Wembley. He had a great match against Walter for the Progress Championship. I would strongly recommend, if you get a chance, demandprogress.pivotshare.com. Join up later at some point, either later in the year or it's whenever point I can track him down. I'm going to be returning the favor with Bruce Mitchell, senior Torch columnist and audio raconteur extraordinaire, where I sit him down and go through some feuds in progress, just like he's going through with me with Mid-Atlantic. And so hopefully that'll kind of give you an idea of things outside of NXT for him. Additionally, I think he would be a good person to take a look at when you look at things like Chikara. Because when you do a King of Trios like they did in 2017, or if you look in WXW, which again, we're gonna do a deep dive in WXW. I probably am gonna try to find a time if I can get someone like a Striga or even Semper Vivi from Wrestling Observer to do it. I want to kind of give you guys some ideas on that one. So with that being said, before I go on to my next couple of people, because I think they all kind of tie into the WXW Progress family, of course. I mean, if you listen to the deep dive for any period of time, you know my love for those promotions. I want to go to the calls. And when you go to the calls on the deep dive, there is only one man you can start with, and that is Mr. 862, the nicest human being on the planet. Welcome back to the deep dive, good sir.
Thank you, Rick. Sorry to hear that you are not feeling well this week, but I will now attempt to pick up the slack for you and hopefully lighten things up for you and attempt to add a little spice to this week's edition of the Deep Dive.
Oh, I look forward to it, Kylan. So, what do you have for me on this fine Saturday?
Okay, well, to kick things off for you this week, since you mentioned that you would like to start with this as your first subject, my first question for you this week is in regards to NXT and more specifically Johnny Wrestling himself, Johnny Gargano.
Oh, okay.
Why do you suppose that Triple H and company, who are in charge of NXT, made the decision to turn Johnny Gargano heel, possibly? Especially when you consider the fact that when it is time for Johnny Gargano to go up to the main roster in, say, within the next 6 months to 2 years, Johnny Gargano could have been the next Daniel Bryan or Shawn Michaels style, really authentic underdog babyface.
Well, I think with Johnny, this isn't a move you do if you're going to run him up to the main roster relatively quick. I think this gives him, even though he had a little bit more juice, like you said, as a face. This gives him more time to kind of quote unquote play down in NXT because I think Triple H realizes the longer Johnny Gargano stays on in NXT, the more likely it is he doesn't get turned into the next Finn Balor. What I mean by that is because of his slight stature and even though he's like ripped, we see Finn Balor on a weekly basis. Just get relegated to the guy who kind of trades wins with everyone else and never really gets to be the guy. Heck, even Daniel Bryan right now is in that same boat, even though he should be in a little bit more of a respected position. So I agree. I think he should have stayed face for a little bit, but I also want to see how the edge goes because it's also seemed to have spread to his wife. So when you have the both of them, and then you add in again Tommaso Ciampa, you have a nice little mini stable of heels that feel like they're doing what should be the right thing. And I think that's a good departure from when you look at, say, the Undisputed Era, who are unabashedly jerks. It's not like they feel like anything they're doing is has this ethos behind it. It's just they like being irritants and they can see how it works for them.
Wrestling fans, if you're looking for a unique and entertaining way to get your wrestling podcast fix, check out Ring Rust Radio. Ring Rust Radio uses its trademark brand of banter to cover all professional wrestling you love, including WWE, NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, ROH, Impact Wrestling, and more. We also hold sit-down interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of the business, such as Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Trish Stratus, AJ Styles, and Roman Reigns. For those of you who want their wrestling with a perfect mix of serious analysis and comic relief, find Ring Rust Radio dropping every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That makes sense. Question number two for you here, Rich, is in regards to potential major WWE signings. With Roman Reigns now on a prolonged and potentially permanent medical leave of absence due to the recurrence of leukemia, in your opinion, will this force Vince McMahon and Triple H to offer Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks, and Hangman Page whatever they want in order to sign with WWE, and will they actually show up in January or in time for WrestleMania, do you think?
Well, I had a discussion with this with Travis a few weeks ago. I think because of the injury, well, not the injury, but because of Roman's illness, there has now opened the negotiations to a point where if they thought they could get him at the cheap because the Young Bucks had fallen out with New Japan or Cody with Ring of Honor, it's kind of been eliminated because with Roman's illness, they're trying to coalesce around as many big guys as possible. So you have Drew McIntyre, you have Braun, you have as many signings as they have Brock. But there's also this opportunity to bring in Cody and his newfound swagger. And the question is, do they think they can, in the case of Cody, I mean by they, Cody and the Young Bucks, pronouns matter, pal, as Vince McMahon would say. Do the Bucks, do Cody, do Hangman Page think that Vince will give them the respect to give them that top spot? Because I don't know if that's the case. And if he doesn't, will he at least pay them enough money where it wouldn't matter? Like for the Young Bucks, if you're going to get paid so much money that you can just let go the fact that you're going to be relegated to, at worst, a mini version of the New Day on the opposite brand of the New Day, at best, put in a position where the New Day, where you're a super entertaining brand, super entertaining team that, while they don't push tag teams as like their top thing du jour, you can at least give them and give yourself an opportunity to get great merchandise and awesome matches. In the case of Hangman Page, he's going to kind of be along for the ride. He's young enough where he can develop in almost whatever he wants, but I would say if he is going to go, he's got to go with all of them, because if he goes in by himself, he's on a fast track to NXT.
That makes sense. And my final question for you, Rich, for this week is on wrestling promotions TV deals. With Impact presumably leaving Pop TV as of December 27th, even though their contract with Pop TV doesn't expire until Monday, December 31st, and Impact being possibly forced to promote Arrow Lucha, which is the promotion that Vince Russo, the Harris brothers, and Rey Mysterio Rey was involved with Arrow Lucha before he signed his WWE. Do you suppose Impact will find another television home? And if Pop TV decides not to go with Arrow Lucha as their wrestling brand, so to speak, which other promotions would you like to see get bigger television deals than what they have at this time?
Okay, so let me start with the first part. I think, yes, I think Impact will get another television home. At this point, they're already at the point where they're trading for in-kind service in terms of what they're doing, where they're going, and the money they aren't making. So if they could find another station that can do that, I don't think that'll be as hard. The bigger question for me with them is, can they find a station that will pay them to hold their product as opposed to them either going in on any kind deal or anything else like that? In terms of your second question, part of your question, I think I would love in a perfect world for some of the Midwest wrestling promotions to kind of get more time. I think with the current advent, and I'm going to have on Chris Harrington a little bit in 2019, I want to say early January, to talk about the rise of on-demand video and how that's kind of affected the wrestling world, because I would say a place like Black Label Pro, or something like AAW would be great if they got more of a market, but that really depends on who's going to be brave enough to do it. I think, if anything, if the proposed Tony Khan wrestling venture, which had been rumored with Jim Ross, the Bucks, Cody, Omega, and company, comes to fruition, that would be a group that I could see getting a pretty solid television deal. And the question just becomes, who do you build around outside of those people? So they're going to be your top stars, but who else can you bring in? What other stars can you create? What other feuds that haven't been seen a million times can you do that's going to appeal to wrestling fans? Because at this point in this era, you have so many people that want to see good wrestling, and they can see it from, you know, and again, as soon as I turn off the deep dive, I can go on my laptop here and watch great matches in Germany, great matches in the United Kingdom, great matches in Japan, and great matches in Mexico or the United States, just at a couple of taps on the keyboard, and I've got myself either, you know, wrestling on demand or free versions of great matches. And so you can't just bring mediocre wrestling in 2018 to the table and just hope that you stay on TV. That's where I'm at on that. And unfortunately, Impact even though they've had a great turnaround in terms of what they've been doing under Callis, there's only so much you can do in a short period of time.
I agree with – well, Rich, I believe that will wrap things up for us this week. And I, of course, look forward to what next week will hold for us.
Oh, yeah, next week will be fun because it's going to be a review of the Marine 6 with my buddy Justin. So that will be a really exciting time.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Yeah, so get ready. Becky Lynch, what can she do as a movie heel? I put up on my Twitter feed a short video clip of one of her fights with Shawn Michaels on a boat. And if you think, for the folks out there that say, you know, wrestling is fake, right? If you watch that fight scene, you will never believe a single movie fight ever in your life, because it's clear that Shawn can't kick to the side, a la a super kick for movie purposes. So he's constantly doing like big man boots as Becky, who is far more agile and far more limber, you know, being younger and less injured, she is just going to town wrecking him, and it's amazing.
I will definitely look out for that, although I'm not sure I can say it, but I'm looking forward to reviewing the Marine 6 with you next week, but I will definitely look out for that particular fight scene that you've just mentioned.
Well, my friend, always a pleasure. And while it is not the best, most exciting thing for some, it is always fun for me to dive into something that's off the beaten path. And when we come back, speaking of off the beaten path, I want to talk about a few more wrestlers in NXT that I think stand out and can be people that are off the beaten path. And hopefully you enjoy them too. And I'll see you in a few moments on the Deep Dive.
Searching for more great pro wrestling talk? Then join me, Jason Powell, host of the free weekly Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. Each week, you'll hear the latest news and analysis from me and my team at ProWrestling.net, along with other pro wrestling media members. Plus, the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast features long-form interviews with notable names in the pro wrestling industry. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Downcast, and all your favorite secondary apps, or visit us directly at pwboom.com. Once again, that's pwboom.com.
All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive with Rich Fan. I am, of course, Rich Fan, and we're talking about people that are standouts and standouts to be currently on the NXT roster. I think people you could look out for in 2019. Now, we've already talked about a few people, most notably Johnny Gargano and Tyler Bate. I want to talk about a few ladies, and if you've heard me on here, you know one of them is going to be right off the bat, Jenny. Jenny has been a wrestler for Progress. She's been all over the UK. In 2017, she wrestled a little bit in WXW, but you've seen her now on the NXT UK. She jacked up, I want to say, Dakota Kai. After Toni Storm match. And in Progress, she just had her longtime assistant, longtime rival, rejoin the House of Couture. Again, Chapter 75, Hello Wembley, which, again, I cannot recommend more. She is just great. And, of course, you remember my conversation with Innocent Isaiah Santero talking about Jenny. So you have to take a look at this young lady. She is great character. I think on the main roster, she will be absolutely brilliant. It's just a matter of giving her the opportunity by way of vignettes, by way of time to stand out, and sky's the limit for. I think in terms of Toni Storm, obviously Toni is the one everyone likes. Everyone sees her as the bee's knees, myself included, other than my East Coast cast host, Travis Bryan, who sees her as the woman that dudes like because she plays video games, but that's an argument for another day. In the case of Jenny, if you're talking just from the male gaze, it's the beautiful woman that doesn't have time for you. She's the young lady. She's Shelley Long when she was on Cheers. She is the fashionista that won't give you the time of day. She's Veronica Lodge before she got to Riverdale. And speaking of which, if you follow me on Twitter, I apologize in advance because I've been on a bit of a binge before this migraine, watching tons of Riverdale and trying to catch up because the insanity. My God, the insanity. But anyway, back to Jenny. Yeah, Jenny's definitely a Veronica Lodge type. She is just the prim, proper, I am better than you and here's why. And then in the ring, she exudes that. I think none of her moveset, nothing she does makes her feel like she's doing something just to pretend to be a mean person. She's definitely been one of my favorites watching Progress. And hopefully in the next year, you'll see a little bit more of her in the WWE side of things. We've talked about this wrestler a lot on the East Coast cast, and it should be another one of my favorites, Lacey Evans. I think she just is the as soon as she gets a chance to get to the main roster, she's going to be great. You look at her, you have this, obviously you got the Salute the Troops, you have the natural heel dynamic she exudes when she's out there. And I think she has a face run with her, especially if you bring her daughter into play and how much she's like a mini-me of her. The women's right is a great finish. Maybe you want to change that by the time she gets to the main roster. It's a little too on the nose. And as a former Marine, and it just is something that adds to her ability to stand out. And it looks like my son may have turned on an alarm of some sort. So I am going to go to a quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to finish up with my last two, and we're going to get out of here on the Deep Dive. I apologize for the quick break when you have a six-year-old who just purchased a Spider-Man clock, which has the old-school alarm. Things happen. So, now that we're back, I'm going to talk to you about my last two folks, and then we're going to get on out of here so I can see a man about a shower and some fine headache drugs. No dipple-dapple, though. No dipple-dapple. So, my last two, Mia Yim, again, someone who has been on NXT television for a while. When NXT first started on the WWE Network, she was one of the enhancement talent that would show up against women wrestlers, along with Blue Pants, which actually is funny because both Leva Bates and Mia Yim have been longtime tag partners, Lucha Sisters, and they are definitely a pair of solid wrestlers. And in particular, I lean more towards Mia. I like her strong, violent style. I think her look is great. As she calls herself, the Blasian Baddie. She's found a lot of fans because of her stance against domestic violence and being so open about her experiences with domestic violence and relationships. I think on the main roster, she'll just be great. I think she could be a good foil to Sasha Banks. I think she could be played up, even in with the California as a relative or something like that. And then they just kind of spinoff from there. She, I think, did a great job with her experience in Impact Wrestling. Being in the dollhouse gave her an opportunity to show a side of herself outside of the tough woman exterior she's shown everywhere else, that gave people an idea she could be. Unfortunately for some, you know, the bombshell thing is the only way they can see a women wrestler, but I think she did a good job of separating herself out of that and putting herself in a position where you could see her and see her as a strong, beautiful woman and not just, oh my God, this is a pretty lady, that sort of situation. Her feud with Gail Kim, which ultimately led to the dollhouse getting Kim to bring in Awesome Kong in that match. Really anything with her versus Awesome Kong, I would definitely recommend it. And then on the indie scene, I would recommend, if you want to watch her and Leva Bates, they had a good match against Candice LeRae a few years ago with Full Impact Pro. Anything she did in Shimmer. And finally, I would say, in time, I would love to see her do a mixed match, if not a mixed match challenge, some sort of mixed tag with longtime friend and irritant Shelton Benjamin. And my final person I want to give you all a shout to is Axel Dieter Jr. And I'm going to kind of jump into Axel for a little bit, but we're going to jump back into him when I do a WXW profile. He was a member of Ring Kampf that was actually the only member signed to the WWE. And so because of that, a lot of people got really excited with the possibility that Big Walter or Tim Thatcher would join him. But no, they both stayed. And even when you look at the WXW tryouts that occurred, well, the WWE Germany tryouts that had a number of WXW stars, I could not see hide nor hair of Walter, which was very interesting to me, but that's a chat for a different day. Axel Dieter has done some great matches. If you want to see him wrestle in the Sumerian Death Squad, I'm always happy to see Ring Kampf against Tommy End, now Aleister Black, and his old partner Michael Dante. If you remember the Mac from the Cruiserweight Classic, I remember Travis was a big fan of his, as was a few of the other East Coast cast longtime folks. That would be a great person to watch when he wrestled Axel Dieter for the Shotgun Championship in WXW. And of course, Marty Scurll had a pretty good match with him in WXW. I would say the next thing for him is just finding a character that isn't Ring Kampf. If they're not going to bring Ring Kampf in, if they're not going to be able to use that, finding something other than being the stoic German would go a long way towards making him a more effective face or heel, and probably in this point, depending on how they treat his language issues and his slight build, in the current WWE landscape outside of NXT, he would be slated for 205 Live, and I don't think that's what he should be, but, you know, that's, again, another conversation for another day. So, again, I apologize for the relative brevity compared to a usual deep dive, but like I said, this migraine is not doing me any favors, and I wanted to make sure you guys had some good content for Saturday. I know you're going to be sick of me because you've had 2 weeks outside of the deep dive where I've been all over the place on the torch. You can listen to me chatting with Greg Parks on the SmackDown review. This weekend I should be doing at some point a Radican Worldwide with Sean Radican. And of course, as always, you can find me on Wednesdays for PW Torch VIP with my main man Travis Bryant. And you're obviously listening to me here on Saturday. So, my goodness, that's a lot of stuff. And not only do you get to hear my happy monotone voice, but you can also hear tons of other folks like Sean Radican, Travis Bryant, Cameron Hawkins, Wade Keller, Bruce Mitchell, Todd Martin, Alan Cunahan, and more. And before I get out of here, I'm going to give you some information on how you can do that by listening to The Boss Man. As always, dive into something new. Give yourself an opportunity to go beyond where you think you can. Go plus ultra. And next week, be ready, be willing, be able to discuss the Marine Six. It's been a pleasure, my friends. Enjoy your weeks.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free additions to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer, and there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip.